Hey everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Speaking of podcasts, today's episode is brought to you by the Waterline Podcast. What's that? Well, that's what I thought when I first heard the name of that podcast, but that's why it's great to always pick up something new and learn about something that you didn't know about. The Waterline Podcast is a new podcast created to communicate the many facets of water. That's right. If you're looking to learn and explore about an economic, political, social, behavioral, technological, and environmental awareness of water around the globe, the Waterline Podcast episodes cover them all. When I started listening to it, I became very intrigued because, first of all, I didn't know that just water could be discussed at such great length and in great detail. And this podcast, they bring the latest scientific advances and technological solutions, while at the same time exploring the economic models and identifying all the players in the global effort to secure water sources, create efficient water usage, and make water just safer for everyone. I'm sure you've heard about all these, the water concerns around the globe. Shit, I had a buddy post on Facebook about the California water shortage. I usually don't click on the stuff he posts because he's kind of a mess. You know, everyone knows that one person. You're like, dude, I'm not going to you for current events. I saw you puke in your own car while you were driving it last week, and you're a dad. Shout out to my friend Kevin from Seattle. But this podcast really captures a lot of the stuff that you don't think about, that you should think about, and that once you think about and listen to, you just become smarter. Search Waterline Podcast on iTunes or in your Android podcast app and listen to their episodes. Their new podcast, Water and Peace, is one of my favorite episodes because, it discusses the deadly conflicts worldwide that water has ignited, like in the Syrian Civil War, which I didn't even fucking know was a thing, again, until I listened to this podcast. So don't be a dumb. Download the Waterline Podcast right now and start being a smarter person.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. During lunch, dinner, or breakfast, Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
That sounded like a gun cocking. That sounded like, that's with the headphones on, that sounded like a, you ready? I was like, that. When you turned on.
Oh, sorry, I was just hearing other voices. I think I'm hearing the old
man. That's the old dude hitting on the.
The girl at the pool.
Yeah.
That's one thing that having a pool in an apartment is cool because, because in the summertime, you want to take a dip and you walk out right outside your door and you do that. And that's a cool luxury. But more so is watching old dudes hit on, and you don't know that there's a lot of ladies in this complex until it's pool season. And a lot of them are, tanning as if they're at a nude beach. And then there's some speedos and there's, kids, and it's like, it's a good mix, but,
that doesn't sound like a good mix actually.
Yeah. I mean,
bikini speedos and kids sounds like a pretty terrible mix.
By the way, you said bikinos, which... there's a reason that's not a thing, because nobody ever wanted a bikini speedo.
Are you telling me that you don't think that nobody ever wanted a bikino? There's a bikino.
Europe does everything differently.
When you were super high that night on that edible I gave you,
I don't want to talk about that night.
Did you even ever think about going in the pool?
No, because I overlooked it. Well, I did fucking step ball changed on my patio for 7 minutes. I'll tell the story again. For 7 minutes, step ball changing. Look up any musical ensemble member ever. That's what they're doing in the background when they can't dance. They tell you step ball change in the back and smile big.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that because in my head I was like, you psych yourself out when you get that fucked up. And I go, if I don't stop step ball changing, my heart won't explode. Mm-hmm. Was the rationale. And I'm doing it for a good, no joke, 7 minutes. And after 7 minutes, just hear from across the apartment complex, Are you okay? Hey, man, maybe check in 3 minutes in, because what I'm doing is definitely not rehearsing for a show.
Yeah, but they hadn't stopped laughing 3 minutes in.
I know.
They needed to really get...
He probably sat down, called a couple friends over. They pulled out the patio chairs.
Everyone he knows is like, listen, I'm going to take a picture of something. I'm going to send it to you, and then I'm going to check with this guy.
If that video went viral, I'd be totally okay with that, and super bummed if he didn't tag me.
Oh, it would be a great story to tell. That's why.
Yeah.
You'd be like, look at comedian Adam Ray. And you're like, okay, make fun of me all you want.
Own it, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the kind of stuff that...
Those are the moments, too, where if like you try to diffuse it versus owning it, can... I don't want to say be a make or break thing, but it's like that thing about not apologizing for your shit and who you are.
Yeah.
It's like, I did that. That was funny. And it shows you can laugh at yourself instead of being like, I was fucked up. Leave me alone. We all get fucked up. You're like... Oh,
yeah.
You don't have a sense of humor about yourself, and you're a comedian. Double whammy, not following you.
Very interesting you said that. Yesterday, 2 days ago, today is Wednesday?
I don't know.
2 days ago,
yeah.
I talked to Craig Ferguson for an hour on his show.
I just did that too.
Great guy.
Wasn't it awesome?
Great guy. I've known Craig for a couple years. Good dude. All right, but we had this talk
cool
about...
Cool ass studio too, huh?
Really cool,
head
man. And his hair is looking good.
Yeah.
He got it brushed back.
Yeah.
He's looking good.
He's a gem.
He's a good dude. He's the guy who cast me to host his... He EP'd that Shark After Dark show that I did. And do you know why he cast
Shark
me?
Shark After Dark.
It was a live talk show on Discovery that was the highest rated talk show the entire time we ever did it. It was a live talk show that they did at the end of Shark Week. We did every night during Shark Week. And we had people on from the shark shows and talked to them. But we... We're getting crazy numbers, but it was a live show. Dude, you should...
Oh my God, do you know what's crazy?
Hmm. There's a clip online of Tara Reid's brain breaking on my show.
Well, that I'm Googling right now, but I met with Craig.
For that show, probably.
Who was the gal that was his producing partner?
Yeah, I know her.
Craig came down, goes, let's go in and pitch this to Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. You got it.
Well, here's... You know why he cast me? So he always...
That's awesome.
He wanted to cast a comic.
He told me originally, yeah, that it was going to be a talk show, right?
It was a talk show.
Okay.
Talk show. And it was
I didn't know the shark element. That
live,
must have happened.
Live. And it was live and scary because...
That's so cool,
I had never
man.
Hosted...
What a cool gig.
I had never hosted a show before. I had never done a talk show.
What?
And they had me doing it. This was pre-everything else. So, and then they had me do it live. But the reason he cast me is because during the audition... So you had to write your own monologue.
Cool. They didn't give you a crew?
For the audition.
Okay.
Write your own monologue. Here's basically what the show's about. Write your own monologue. And I wrote it in the middle of my monologue during the middle of the audition. The prompter broke. And I'm a comic, dude. We're comics. So when something goes wrong, you know what we don't do? Prompter's broken. Hey, prompter's broken. We just go. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's not in our nature. If you stop on stage doing stand-up, you can't do that.
No.
You just got to find a way to make the show keep going.
Start talking. I've done that so many times.
Start talking.
I forget the bit I want to do next.
Has your microphone ever broken?
Oh, yeah.
And you just have to keep talking.
Oh, I once dropped the mic and did 20 minutes a cappella because of that.
Yeah, I pretended I was a mime once because I didn't know what else to do.
I mean, that's hilarious.
But so he was like, that's why we cast you, man, because it's live TV. That prompter went down and you were better. You were better.
Also, look at Craig's style. I mean, like...
Exactly. Make
throw
people
caution to the wind.
Yeah.
By the way, I've had a strong case of the hiccups today.
Do you ever, when you get the hiccups, think they're never going to go away?
No. But today, yes. I don't think I legitimately have had the hiccups.
Yeah. No. Oh, my God. That was a sneeze, burp, hiccup. That was the... It went in your nose first.
No, they've been aggressive, dude. These aren't
really?
Like, these aren't little... See? Like,
yeah.
It's almost like I'm about to throw up.
Well, if you threw up right now, I'd laugh so hard.
I know, and I already thought about that. About me throwing up. And you, I had the hiccups earlier today, and I go, they stopped for a minute, and part of me was so bummed they stopped, because like, oh, it would be funny to have them on the podcast and to have Josh laugh.
Because
he probably would.
Do that the whole show. I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. I go, oh, it might be funny for a minute. I go, but then it's going to be very distracting, and it's going to be awful.
Because
I drink water upside down. I try to... scare myself.
Can I tell you what is making me laugh so hard? I'm crying.
That's fuck.
What's making you laugh so hard is that every time you do it, you have this look of concern and fear on your face. Your eyebrows
go
up.
Oh, it's the look of like, are you about to shit your pants? Oh, excuse me. See? What is that noise that comes out?
It's almost like a
it's almost like I'm burping up like a frog.
What was that?
I don't know, man.
You went.
It's my soul eating itself. It's my body being like, you're done, dude.
Oh my god.
We thought about taking you out in your sleep. Dude, I want it to stop, but it's not stopping.
Why do you look so concerned when
you're because it's scary. Dude, a hiccup is almost like poltergeist shit. It's there's no vulnerable moment more than when you hiccup or sneeze. Or cum or fart, because you have no control over anything.
You putting all those together? Hiccup, sneeze, cum, fart?
Yeah. Dude, that's like, those were the original Captain Planeteers. Instead of earth, wind, water, and heart, it was...
Hiccup, sneeze, cum, fart?
Oh, man, I've missed you, Josh Wolf.
Let me tell you, are those basically the four that you don't have any control?
Sorry, man. I'm sorry, dude. I'm so sorry.
So here's the thing.
Oh,
I got the hiccups the other night. I was high, and I was
high hiccups.
I was convinced I was going to have them forever. I wrote an email. I wrote an email to my mom.
Oh, fuck.
I was like, hey, so I'm in the middle of the hiccup bout, and when I went back and read it, I was like, oh, I can't believe I sent this. But I was legitimately concerned that this might be the last time that I was going to be able to communicate with her.
Oh,
because
God.
I was going to be hiccuping forever.
Oh, fuck.
So she called me at like, so.
Jesus.
7 a.m.
Have you done that before? Have you been that?
No. But I can see you typing the email right now.
I'm trying to stay calm, but I'm starting to. What's your mom's email address? I'm panicking.
Am I waking her up?
No.
I'm so sorry.
Dude, she's sleeping like a rock.
Can I tell you something? Like.
Oh. Oh God, this is bad, dude. Literally, it was happening so long today that I'm like, it might not stop. Can you tell me? All right, that one was bad, dude.
That was it.
That was the one where it almost I choke on my own breath.
Yeah, that was a blumpkin.
Oh God,
guys, I have to video you doing this.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, I mean, guys, if you could see how. How scared he looks. It's oh, that's so good. Let me just kind of okay, let me get you on video here.
Well, I hope I don't
not have the hiccups.
Get hiccup
like you
on
mean
stage fright.
You mean like staring at the you know what's even worse than the hiccups is the feeling you have to hiccup and you just your mouth's open, you're like, and you're waiting. You're waiting for it?
Is that a technique to...
No. But you know what I told us?
Fuck. Dude, it's literally like...
Maybe?
You have no control. You have no knowing. It's almost like getting shanked in an elevator.
Why don't you try holding your breath? And I'll talk. Whoa. What was that?
I don't know. The hiccup was like trying to get in the way. And it wouldn't let me breathe in.
Boy, this hiccup is about to kill Adam Ray. Say goodnight, everybody. Dude. So,
God, dude, all right, I gotta stop.
I was telling the story. I don't know if did I tell it today. Somebody was asking me about the whoa.
All right, talk. Okay. This can't
hold
I don't want to stop.
Hold
this
your breath.
This is at the point where the audience goes, go. They go.
They go. Go to a doctor. Oh my god! Oh, guys, I can't believe I wasn't filming that. Oh, I have literally cried. I have tears. It's too much. Oh, my stomach hurts. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm crying.
Dude, whew, that is some
grade A entertainment. Adam Ray, thank you so much for that.
I've never seen somebody laugh so hard.
Oh, dude, that made me...
Sorry.
Why is it making that noise?
What's in my stomach? I haven't eaten anything today but a fucking banana berry smoothie.
But why? Why is it making three different noises?
Sorry, dude.
You're sneezing, burp, hiccup. What was it? The hiccup, sneeze, cum, fart?
I said hiccuping, sneezing, coming up. are the things that you can't control the most in life?
I honestly
said those
might
are the
throw
four
up.
Original planet. Original planet. Guys, hiccup, sneeze, cum, and fart.
This is the weirdest sounding hiccup.
Oh.
Because you really sound like you might throw up at some point.
Dude, it's deep and it feels awful.
It's that sounded like somebody was breaking out of prison.
Was that fucking Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman sneaking away?
You finally...
Oh shit.
Andy Dufresne.
Why is that noise?
Oh, it hurts, man. I can't stop.
Dude, my stomach hurts so much. I could throw up. I literally could throw up. Oh my god.
I'm a grown man.
I know.
Oh, dude.
I'm sorry, man.
What? No. I mean, you have the old Jewish guy noises down.
I know.
This might be the shortest podcast.
This is not good, dude. This is not good. I can't stop, dude.
Oh, my God.
Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay?
Those noises are so weird. I've never heard anything like that. Plus your face. You're so scared.
I am.
It's like the combination.
I'm terrified.
You
man.
Are. There's a fear of the unknown.
I can't. Dude, it's like being in a dark alley and you don't know what's coming.
But I don't know why that. I've never heard that noise come out
I've
of someone before.
I've never hiccuped like this before, man. This is. Look.
It's like a death.
This is not good, dude. This is not good.
It's
I mean,
like a death rattle.
Oh, I told you, like.
Dude. There is no reason for that noise to be coming out.
What the fuck is that? There's no, nothing is coming up.
Oh, I'm so sorry you had to hear this.
Oh,
that is like.
Oh God. I haven't. Oh,
God,
I'm
dude,
glad
that
I just taped all that.
So amazing. That is like I'm sweating. Oh, I mean, have you seen?
No.
That's a hiccup. He's hiccup sneeze burping.
There's nothing coming up. It's just that. But that's the hiccup, and it's making that noise.
Yeah. And there's air in it. But like burpy air.
Yeah.
But like, why?
We haven't
said anything.
We stopped the podcast. We stopped talking about the podcast stuff 10 minutes ago.
Well, how long have
I've been hiccuping for 10 minutes
yeah.
straight.
Yeah.
Did you try drinking the water again?
What? How would you describe that noise?
It sounds like you're like about to throw up.
Yeah, it's like a.
Oh, all right, we gotta just try to move on.
Okay, I want to play you.
Yeah.
Maybe try this. Can I play you a song I've been doing on stage just to hear your?
I would love that.
We probably tried to get water up tonight.
Let's just all just move along.
It's. Pretty amazing.
I mean, it's what is that?
I don't have a way.
It's not, and what's so crazy about hiccups is that it doesn't seem it's a hiccup, right? Like anytime you think or talk about a hiccup, it's such a quick diagnosis and like condition to where nobody's ever gone to the hospital for hiccups. 911, hello. Yes, what's your emergency? I can't stop hiccuping. Mm-hmm. Has never been recorded.
It's about to be.
But because what does it lead to? What is it? Has someone ever? And there's never any like, yeah, I was hiccuping nonstop. So that's when I knew I had to go get checked because I had AIDS. Like there's no, you know, or God. Boy. But what is? But what?
The hiccup is the diaphragm. So it's okay, the diaphragm doing, I think, doing like jumping a little bit. But so, I don't know if they know why it does it. And I volunteered to bring the guitar out because then maybe that would give you a chance to do whatever you felt like you...
Hiccup through the song?
So this song, I didn't even write. It's a poem my daughter wrote. And she wrote it when she was about 6.5 years old because we bought her a cat. So she wrote word for word this song about her cat that she performed at the talent show in front of like 500 kids.
That's amazing. At what age?
About 6.5, 7. This is the song.
Proudest dad moment ever? Up there.
Yeah, just hear the poem about her cat. I just put it to music.
Okay.
You hear it?
Yep.
Ooh, I love her, my pussy. In front of the school. I like to hug her, my pussy. Yeah, my pussy likes to run around. My pussy, she makes the cutest sounds of my pussy.
No, she didn't.
She can be scary, my pussy.
She's ahead of her time with this.
She's really hairy. Oh, no. My pussy.
Oh, that's the one.
Wait.
Oh, no.
My pussy likes to sleep on my chest, and my pussy, she likes my brother best. My pussy.
Oh, God, no.
She's as fine as she can be. Yeah, she's part of the family.
Well, that's sweet.
And she likes to sleep all over the place. Ooh, my pussy, she'll lick your face. Ooh, my pussy, she'll lick your face.
Dude.
So she opens with, ooh, I love her, my pussy. And I turn to Beth and I go, we got to get out of here. And she said, why? I go, oh, she opened with my pussy. That's the chorus. It's coming back around. Oh, my God. That one almost looked like you swallowed your tongue.
Oh, I'm scared.
What do they taste like? Can you tell me? I was hoping the song would take your brain off it, but not so much. What does it taste like? Tell me what's going on in your head, tell me what's going on in your
head. What's going on in my head right now is...
You're trying to be a professional.
I have to get on a plane... in in 4 hours, and I'm nervous that being that high and being without, like, because guess what, man, doctors end up being on planes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or people that can help, EMTs, whatnot. There's no call button I can hit that's gonna get somebody to help me stop hiccuping.
The hiccup button.
And if the plane has to turn around and go back because I have a hiccup attack, is that a thing?
It would be an amazing story. I read an article
where they just had to turn back because somebody got a pair of people got fought over somebody farting.
Yeah.
Did you read about that?
Yeah.
What was that story? I just saw the headline.
From what
the
I
plane went yeah. back because they got in a fight because somebody was farting and not claiming it or something.
Listen. The people fart on the plane. It's just what goes down. Like, you can't start getting mad at people for farting on the plane because everybody is pushing those things in the cushion.
Everybody is doing it.
Everybody's doing it, but there's an art to it.
The stewardesses are doing it.
They crop dust you when they're serving you.
You know why? Because they're in the best position to blame you.
Right in your face, too.
Yeah, right in your face. And also, they're distracting you with their snack offerings.
I'm always
stoned. Any more Sprites? Oh, I'm sorry. I was asleep. I know. I just wanted to wake you up so you just didn't know that I was farting while you were sleeping.
Like that. Just a pfft. Do you get high? Do you get high on planes?
That's illegal.
Right. But if you were going to get high on a plane.
Oh, yeah. I have. And sometimes it's been, you got to be in the right mindset. You know, I have done it where I've been so relaxed and it's been I left at like 6 p.m. Oh, God. Flew to Seattle, clear skies, was sundown when I got there. Perfect amount of high, first class seat. Looked out the window and listened to music for most of the ride. Great. Didn't watch any movies, just listened to music and oh God.
That one was a little like sad, like a
that was my body being like, it's not gonna stop. And then there's sometimes where I've been too high and I've freaked out and like a little bit of turbulence has made me get Wi-Fi so I could text my family, you know?
Dude, I freaked out, and I don't freak out on weed. I freaked out.
You don't?
No. About 3 weeks ago on the plane, though, I freaked out heavy.
Well, that's what you get for giving people too much brownie.
Well, you know what happened? Well, that was your fault for dancing on the patio. So
I also took way too much, and you told.
I told you.
You told me. I just didn't understand.
So I'm on the plane, and I start to get high. But on the way on the plane, there was a chance for me not to get on the plane.
Why?
weather, and then it was oversold. And then I had almost missed the flight, and I'd almost like a lot of things almost made me almost miss this flight. So I'm like, the universe is telling me not to get on this plane. And then I get
those thoughts too.
The plane, and then the edible hit me, and we started to take off. And I was
fuck.
And then one.
What was the first thing that made you go, and I can't be here?
The woman sitting next to me.
Yeah.
Was.
A gargoyle.
197 years old.
Oh, no.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, the universe is ready for her to go, too.
Yeah. Like, this plane is not looking to save a 200-year-old woman.
Because then I looked around, and I was like, there's no kids on this plane.
Shit. That's some crazy.
I was like, this is the plane
your brain
where everybody goes down.
Oh, we don't need these people plane?
Yes. That's exactly. I thought I was on the
we're not going to miss you guys airline.
Tour, yeah. Tour. Yeah, I thought I was on the you're fucked airlines, right? And I was like, oh, this is the end. Like, and I was doing the same thing. I got online, but just cryptically, I was like, hey, Beth, I love you. And she was like, I'm sleeping. And I'm like, okay.
Oh.
You're not going to be happy when you wake up and I'm dead. And you said, I'm sleeping.
Fuck.
Yeah. But then I.
How deep did you go down that hole of like how much did you buy into it? Like, did you still have a little piece of your brain blocking a full commitment to full fear? Or were you like, all right, like you could reel it back in if you had to.
So I started to go back into you've been high a million times. Just get up in the air where you can take your laptop out and turn on Tropic Thunder and you'll forget about everything. And that's it. I was like, I just need
an escape
and Tropic Thunder.
Something familiar
and funny.
Yeah.
Can't be serious.
Every other time you've watched Tropic Thunder, you weren't freaking out about dying next to Ethel.
Super funny. Ethel. It's super funny.
What is her name? Stacy?
Yeah, no, it's probably
She's
Ethel.
197.
Beatrice. Henny. What's the oldest name besides Jesus? Well, like,
I have an Aunt Shirley. That's a pretty. Mm-hmm. You won't hear any Shirleys past the year 1952.
My grandma was Henrietta.
I love that name.
I feel like Henrietta is cool enough in a retro way to maybe make a comeback. She was an old Jew from Cincinnati who had a giant hump on her back, like a ring the bell hump, like the Hunchback of Notre Dame hump. And my brother used to tell me, because I didn't know, and I was just a kid, I was like four, he used to tell me that my grandmother was a turtle and used to sleep in the hump. Like when she went to sleep, her head would go into the hump.
Oh, kids are the best. And you bought it.
Oh, I used to ask her.
So you would stay up late and try to see, like,
all the time, snuck into her room. I tried to sneak. I'd sneak into her room. She's like, what are you doing? And I'd be like, just seeing if you're in your hump. And she was like, not yet. I'm like, okay.
Some old lady trying to fucking watch her matlock.
Trying to sleep.
Are you a turtle yet, bitch? What? Fuck you, 7-year-old grandson.
She was super funny, man. My grandparents were really funny.
That's cool.
The funniest. Okay, one of the funniest stories it's ever happened to me. My grandfather. I was probably 8, and I'm in the backseat of the car. And what I loved about my grandparents is there was no inappropriate jokes. The only inappropriate jokes were jokes that weren't funny. But if it was funny, you could say whatever you wanted at their house.
Oh, really? So if you told an inappropriate joke that bombed.
Well, it was only inappropriate because it wasn't funny.
What a great rule of thumb. No wonder you got your comedy chops honed that early.
They were in my grandfather, okay.
But now you're also then going off of what their, you know, their comedic sensibilities are.
But their comedic sensibilities, and I'll tell you exactly what they were. Like, my grandmother, loved it when we made fun of her hump. I sent her a single of the Humpty Dance when I was in high school as a joke. She was like, they're playing my song.
I mean, God, that makes me miss my grandparents.
So my grandfather, I sit down the front. He sits down in the front seat of the car. I'm eight. I'm in the back seat. He sits down and I see him go, whoa. And I go, what happened, Papa? And he goes, just sat on my nuts. And I was like, what? Because, you know, when you're eight, your nuts are like as big as a dime.
Yeah, they're almost like you don't even have nuts. You're just a kid with a penis.
How do you sit on them?
Yeah, you don't.
No.
So how are you even peeing without balls?
Super confused.
Yeah.
And I was like, you are? And he goes, yeah. He goes, it'll happen to you someday. He said, wait till you get older and you have to hold them in your hand so you don't poop on them. I was like, what's happening? I was like, what? Is that a real thing? And he was like,
Grandpa,
yeah.
I'm trying to process that grandma's a turtle. And now you're telling me about poop balls? What the fuck am I in store for?
My grandfather used to wear socks up to his knees, and she used to call him his nut warmers. They were funny people, dude.
That's amazing.
They were funny people. But that, like, they were in something that I actually took into raising kids.
Yeah.
They were big on make a memory. Make a memory. Will you have one ride on this rock? Were you making memories in the living room? Go outside and do something that everybody's going to remember you did.
Yeah.
Make a memory. And whether that memory is, that's why it wasn't appropriate or inappropriate. If 10 years from now you're all laughing at it, this is a great memory. And
you will remember. There's something in your brain, I think, that really, because I think as a benefit of being a comedian, I think I would put money on that we have had more laugh out loud experiences in our life
mm-hmm.
than not.
But I think we allow ourselves.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because I also know a lot of people that aren't comics that surround themselves, that actively go out with people where they are laughing a lot, you mm-hmm. know? But I've then been out with them and been like, oh, well, the context of what you're laughing at, I'm not laughing at, but yeah. We have different sensibilities because maybe I'm just holding it to a higher standard because of what I'm seeing and what I'm, you know, but
100%.
But I think your brain does like the really funny moments. Like I'm thinking of one right now from sophomore year of high school when I went back home and went to my buddy's house and we were crying laughing. I don't remember right now what we were talking about, but I remember that.
Dude, I'll remember your hiccup.
Wasn't that a great
saga.
Story?
That was a great story. I'm trying to move right past it.
Come on, hiccups.
Zero details to that story.
And zero hiccups in the last, I'm going to say, 8 minutes.
Pretty good, man.
I think I'm done.
Yeah. But the hiccups are a great example. We all know somebody who would have been at this table who would have been more concerned for you than laughing.
And not laughing.
Yeah.
And guess what would have made you stop laughing because of their buzzkill?
Yeah.
Thank God Brad's not here. Maybe.
Do little people get hiccups?
Maybe he's the reason I don't hiccup when he's here.
Maybe so.
Dwarves have this superpower.
Do dwarves get hiccups?
That's a great question. That also sounds like a Judy Blume book.
Can I throw, dude?
From the writer of Super Fudge.
You know how
comes to dwarves get hiccups. I mean, that's an adorable.
Are you there?
Yeah. Are you there yet? Are you wait?
Are you there, dwarf? It's me,
hiccup.
Judy.
Hiccup.
Hiccup. You know,
Gordon hears a hiccup from a dwarf.
I love that for Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
We used to, because you know, I worked on Chelsea for a while, and yeah. Chewy was on that show.
Oh yeah.
So we would Google things about dwarfs all the time. But I remember one day we were like, "Hey, what's the average life expectancy of a dwarf?" So we Googled it. And when we came up, we were like, maybe we shouldn't make fun of Chewy as much.
Oh, no.
Yeah, maybe we should.
What is it?
It's not us.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, look, life, I think everything's changing for the better now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think people have a better sense of taking care of themselves. And
mm-hmm.
maybe. I don't know. I think so because of just,
you hope
again,
so.
With social media and everything, there's just more information and more commercials and apps and tweet. You know, there's more to see to be like, oh shit, like look at the people are on all of it so much that there's more of an opportunity to skim across something that is like, oh, don't, it just says like, I just saw something today on CNN.com that was like, these three foods cardiologists say you should not touch mm-hmm. if you want to live longer. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, and I was going to click on it, and then right below it, it said Taylor Swift has beef with Katy Perry again. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to start there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and then probably eat these foods that they told me not to eat.
I will tell you, by the way, as far as foods go, I have actively tried to be less healthy.
I was going to say, you look like you put on about 40. I'm joking, dude.
No,
you're
I put on
in shape guy.
I put on about 10 pounds though.
Fucking can't fucking
I know,
tell.
But
so
that,
fuck off.
But that's
man.
The exact point, dude. I was so hard on myself for so many years, not letting myself do anything.
Just trying to be perfect all the time?
Yeah, I was really hard on
myself. Why?
I'm not kidding, about a month ago.
I don't think you've ever been manorexic, but like...
No, but I was really hard on myself. About a month ago, I had a really serious conversation with myself. I was fucking legitimately mad at myself.
Were you stoned?
No, man. Right. I was fucking...
mad. Why?
I look back over my time here in Hollywood. And that video I showed you earlier is a good example of that. And I can think of some times where I look back and I was like, oh, I self-destructed this. I went back and I looked. I was like, oh, I kind of fucked this up.
Whoa.
Oh, and I was like, oh, I kind of fucked this up. I looked at three or four things. And then I was thinking to myself, and right now I'm not doing that in my career, but I was doing it to myself physically. I was just beating the shit, whether it was in the gym or in the kitchen, and it had shifted to a different part of my life. But about a month ago, I was like, why, for the past 8 years, have you really, at every opportunity you could, take a shot at yourself? Not publicly, I wouldn't say it to you, I fuck it hard on myself, but I would make sure that my life was harder. It took me, honestly, I had some, you ever had a heart-to-heart with yourself? Were you, and you really
all
have to be
time,
super
man.
Honest.
Yeah.
And I had to be super honest with myself about, why am I doing this? Like, do I think I'm a bad person?
Do you go to therapy?
I don't.
Neither do I. And this is probably why we have so many hearts with ourselves.
Yeah.
I've always just been like...
Are you hard on yourself? You feel like you're hard on yourself?
Oh, yeah. But I just always... I think it's because I was around other problems earlier, like my mom and sister, and peer mediating for them at like 8. So
What do you mean?
They were just at each other's throats, and I, by default, was like, all right, well, then I can't. Seeing my sister cause so much distress to my mom and be a problem, and just, I was like, all right, by default, I need to be good at school. I need to be fucking, and I don't think I had those tendencies anyway of lashing out, but it made me lock down even more and just be like, I'm going to, this
peacekeeper.
Is clear. Yeah, but I didn't plan on having to mediate too. I was just like, I'll just be good so that it's not doubling down on a single mom with all the shit. But then I ended up, you know, being the thing that was keeping it all together at fucking 8. So I think because of that, I was like, and then I got in counseling when they split up once. I went a couple times to this guy, and he had a little plastic hoop in his office. And I was going there, and my mom was like, oh, she didn't know what to do. She's like, you go to talk to somebody about this, yeah. You know? And I didn't want to. It was just so, I was like, I'd rather just not think about it. Like, I still get to see him, right? Oh, cool. I'll put on a happy face. Because I just was like, I think that's the way to deal with this. That was just my innate feeling. And then I get into the therapy thing, and the guy was like, you know, I'd play basketball and he'd try to talk to me. And then some sessions, he just let me shoot on the thing, yeah, the whole time. He wouldn't talk. Try to ask me questions. I'd give him short answers. And then one time I come in and the ball's on his desk. He goes, you can't shoot until we get through 30 minutes of this. And he starts asking me questions. I was like, who the fuck are you? Like, why am I telling you about how I feel about my dad not being around?
Yeah.
You know? And so then I just always kind of, I think, kept it in. I've talked about it here and there to friends and stuff, but not really, man.
I think
it's bursted out in moments in anger to, you know, I'm sure family members for things, at myself, career-wise, and just other things. But like, yeah, man, I may have never gone to therapy since then. And I hear so many comics doing it, and I'm like, that sounds great. But then there's something also
it
great.
It explains a lot about you, Adam. It explains, like, what you just told me explains to me so much about your personality, because you're not a pleaser, as in I'm a doormat. But you want people to be happy.
Fuck yeah.
You want people to be happy.
Yeah, it makes me happy. And yes, also, I feel like I don't make excuses for myself. And when I get down about something, or if something happens, I it's made me, probably for good and bad, but like, because there are times when, yeah, I've talked about it with, you know, significant other or best friend, or my mom has been so great over the years, because she used to do counseling and therapy and all that, really have where you need to talk things out. And it's been, and that's been good. So that's almost been the therapy.
Yeah.
Because I think you're an idiot if you don't communicate any of that sort of. But 90% of it all just locked in here.
Have you ever thought?
Because I'm like, you can figure it out. It's like, yes. get over it, or like, why don't you just figure it out? What do you need to go to?
That's my attitude too.
And you probably I grew up quicker because of that. But also, you know, who knows what I don't know, missed out on by not maybe dealing with it, but I think I did by being like, oh, hey, focus on that stuff that you want to do and are trying to get to, instead of
dude, it's also one of the reasons
that over in the corner.
You're a comic. It's one of the reasons you're a comic.
And let that stuff bubble up in your 50s and then, you know, take it out on somebody.
Yeah, like a golf ball.
I'm joking. I don't have that in me.
A golf ball?
I threw a pillow once at a girlfriend.
You did?
Yeah.
What is the angriest in your adult life?
And it was a small pillow.
Was it shaped like a bone? You know, like a little dog pillows?
Oh, hilarious. I mean, just the most harmless thing. And it was...
She's pressing charges.
She came at me, though.
Did she?
Yeah. Like, not swung, but like a push and a... And so I
pushed to the chest?
Oh, yeah.
I think two-handed push to the chest?
I think a slap, too.
Yeah. I've been slapped by a girl one time really hard. It's rattled my teeth.
It made
teeth.
Me realize I'm not into like the really destructive sexual foreplay. I was like, oh, cool. A one bitch slap at 2 in the afternoon and don't tie me up.
Yeah, I'm with that. I'm like, that. Yeah. You know, that pain part is actually just pain.
Yep.
There's just zero pleasure about that. It's actually...
I'd rather hiccup to death and come at the end of the hiccup and then die.
Was it hiccup, sneeze, cum, fart?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the hiccup, sneeze, cum, fart, we're going to have to do something with that. That sounds gross, but it isn't, guys.
Well, we said it's the original four Captain Planeteers. Yeah. So I think it's making a spinoff.
Who am I? You've got to be Hiccup.
Yeah.
I would love to be Fart.
Hiccup is the Michelangelo of the Ninja Turtles. You know, he's the fun one.
Yeah. Who's Fart?
That's Raphael. And Sneeze is Donatello, and
I think we got it. What
come is Leonardo?
What come? The leader. And he's Leonardo DiCaprio. Then a lot of that.
I love that
stuff.
You went there. Do you got a man crush on him?
No, because he's a little too skinny fat for me. If I'm man crushing,
what a hilarious breakdown!
Just saying it.
Yeah,
you can't skinny fat me.
Yeah,
like he looks like if he had a smaller head, he would look like a Far Side character. You know, with just like a big old belly and those skinny little long arms.
Yeah.
If I'm man crushing on somebody, who would that be? I mean, Ryan Gosling, I think, would be. The Gosling?
That's a good one.
Like, if he was like, listen, man, I know you're not gay and I'm not gay either, but do you want to see my dick? I'd be like, yeah. I'll take a look at it. Let's see what the Gosling looks like.
Oh, my God.
You telling me if Gosling walked in the door right now and he was like, anyone want to see my dick? You wouldn't be like, yeah, I'll see the Gosling.
I mean, if it made my hiccups go away,
it would.
I'd be like,
it's got magical powers.
Oh my God!
The
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'd have to bring him around the apartment complex and show him to some of the.
You
know, the elder ladies that I can tell have.
Well,
probably,
he can't be taking his dick out in front of old ladies.
Says who?
Well, yeah, he's Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I feel like there's a certain level of fame where you can just get away with stuff like that.
Anything.
But it's got to be, you know, selective public.
You're not
public
punching
displays.
People in the face.
Don't do it at the movie theater. Yeah. That's already been done, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know,
by who?
Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah, true.
But that was in the theater. What if you're doing it at the lobby? What if you're literally like in line for popcorn and you just turn around to the guy next to you and go, psst, hey, and you just point down to it and he goes, what the fuck? And then you put it back in and nobody saw it.
What if you're working the concession? What if you're working the concession
stand? And then that guy tells the story, Gosling just pulled his dick out to me while I was getting popcorn. And you go, what the fuck are you talking about, Greg? He goes,
Greg!
And he goes, he's not even here. He goes, let's go back out in the lobby. And he just disappears. Gosling just goes in for that moment.
It just shows one random person.
Dude, if I get that famous
dick.
And I'm that old, that's what I'm doing. Just doing that shit and giving people stories. Like what Bill Murray does when he pops up at weddings.
But
you know
should do it. You should do the old dick watch thing. You're like, you know what time it is? And have him look down
the
and
Rolex?
Be like, yeah.
The kid used to do that in our high school.
The dick watch is a classic.
He did it to our coach and got kicked out of practice a lot.
You know, I played baseball in college.
Yeah.
And my 1 year, my what was it, sophomore, junior year, my coach did not like me. And
what was his name?
Coach Brown, Coach Jeff Brown. Now, Coach Brown, by the way, is a better athlete than I'll ever be or dream. He played at USC behind Jack Del Rio.
Oh shit!
And was the catcher ahead of Mike Piazza in the Dodger system.
Wow!
Until he got in a car accident, and he crushed both of his feet.
No,
and so. You guys know, probably know. The only reason I know a lot about feet is because, you know, Jacob almost got 3 of his toes cut off. I told you about it, right?
Yeah.
So I learned there's so many bones that when feet get broken and crushed like that, there's just no coming back. So he was a big dude and he crushed both of his feet better than Piazza. He was ahead of Piazza in the Dodgers. So he's a bitter-ish dude. And I don't blame him. He's coaching now at Trinity University in San Antonio, Texas. And I'm on his team, and he's like, he used to call me Cher because my hair was long, and he's like, I'm gonna need you to cut your hair, Cher. I'm like, I'm not cutting my hair. And he was like,
that's right, you had long fucking hair.
Cher hair. Like, really bad Cher hair. I told you the story about opening for Kinison, and I had a ponytail and bangs.
Yeah.
And bangs, not great. So, by the way, the best heckle I ever heard anyone say to any coach or player. Coach Brown was a big dude.
Yeah.
And he had to be 6'2", 260, big dude. And he's lumbering out to the mound because his feet were jacked up. And he lumbers out to the mound, and we're at an away game. And this dude stands up in the stands, and he goes, "Hey, sit down, coach. Your fries aren't ready yet." And I was like, oh my God. I was doubled over laughing. Oh, now, everybody else was scared of him, but I knew I wasn't playing anyway, so it didn't fucking matter. He comes and he sits on the bench, and he goes, "You all should be laughing. That was pretty funny." And I was like, "Yeah, that was pretty funny. You're fat. Yeah." It was a crazy year, knowing every time you suit up, I'm not seeing the field. In the year before, by the way, I was all conference. I almost hit 400. I believe led the team at Trinity. It was either led the team in home runs or were tied for home runs. Next year, didn't fucking see you.
Really? Mm-mm. Do you? How often? I just was shooting hoops when I was on one of the army bases in Japan, and I was.
How amazing was that?
Unbelievable.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Unbelievable. I'll tell you all about it in a sec. I mean, I've talked about it a little bit to Brad, but I'll tell you some other stories. But I, every time I'm on a basketball court shooting by myself, I have flashbacks to big high school moments.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. And I'm sure everybody does who is still competitive at that. Like, there's literally a game that I had this end of our high school senior year, right? Our school hadn't been to the playoffs in 15 years. And we had the squad that been together since sophomore year. Our JV year, we went 20-3. And now this group is a senior. And we had needed to win our last 3 out of 4 to go to the playoffs for the first time in 15 years. And I would always score about 12 to 15 points a game, right? 3-point, you know, set some records at school, whatever. And then the last 3 games, I scored 25 a game and just was on fire. And just was
Was the outside the game your game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but when I was young and quick fat, when I was in sixth grade and I was the tallest kid, I was a center.
Were you the tallest kid?
In sixth grade. Dude, if I had panned out the way I was in sixth grade, that's why I joke and I say I peaked in sixth grade, because I was like 5'9".
Yeah.
I was the tallest in sixth grade. I was.
You know why, don't you?
What?
Jews peak early. At 12, the best athletes are the black kids and the Jews. And then the Jews never grow again.
This is why we played the all-black team for the championship, and I scored like 32 points and like 17 rebounds. I was quick fat, because this is why I say I was fat, as fast as all the skinny kids,
yeah.
Because I just like had that determination and hustle, and for whatever reason, like the fucking Jello and jiggling didn't stop me getting up and down the court. Maybe I knew there was ice cream in my future if we won, but I would shoot all day on my hoop at home, so I would just develop this 3-point shot. But then I also would work my post moves nonstop because Hakeem Olajuwon, and I was playing center, so I needed to do that. So in these games, I would fucking dominating the post, and then if I would catch, I would shoot threes. I was like now the modern day big man. And we played this all black team championship game, and I remember hearing about them. We got matched up somehow because of the way the tournament was, and never played an all black team, sixth grade. And I'm just like, holy shit, and they're fucking dope. We're up by 4 with like 11 seconds left.
They from Yesler, down on Yesler Way?
It was somewhere deep like that.
Yeah.
And we're playing in Linwood, and we were only up by 2, and there's like 11 seconds left. And we're going down, and I run it down to about 4 seconds and do this fucking shake shimmy sky hook and then run down the court, hit the shot. So now we're up 4 with like 4 seconds left. And they got to inbound the ball, clock's still running. And as I'm running down the court, getting ready to celebrate, hear one of the dads of the opposing team go, "Man, that fat motherfucker's killing us." And I was so...
That crushed you.
Yeah. But also... I was like, I am
kidding. Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
But that's why I...
Because when you lined up, the other team was like, "Oh, that dude's not beating us."
Fuck no, dude. Are you kidding me? And once I started to get an edge and see like, oh, they can't body me up in the post and they're giving me space to shoot.
Because you were bigger than them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were quick and fast. I just like... I don't know, man. I got to find tapes. I know there's a tape at home because I saw it a long time ago of me... Literally, I remember there's one, because I watched it, I think, when I went back in high school once, I found it, and it was me, because I was telling somebody about it, and I was like, I got to find this tape. I think I must love it, but it was a great shot. I mean, it's a whole game against this team. And so there's probably, you can hear audio of, "My motherfucking kid," like, you can probably hear it,
amazing.
Which would be unbelievable.
That would be
That's
your
like
ringtone,
Daniel Tosh shit, like, I would track down the coach and interview him.
And it would be your ringtone.
Yes.
"That fuck motherfucker's kid."
I would write a book about that game.
And you would call it
quick fat. And so, I'm telling you, Eric Griffin and I riffed on this. He wants to make a movie called Quick Fat, and he wants to be the coach.
It's hilarious.
But so, but there's a shot of me running down the court, I remember, just fucking bouncing around in my shirt, just all fat and boobs, and high-fiving people as I'm running on court after I hit the shot. But I'm watching the moves, and that's why I'm able to talk about it so confidently, because when I remember watching, I'm like, I was fucking dominating.
Yeah.
But again, it was like, that's all I did was
did
play basketball.
Did it even out the next year? When did it even start to even out?
To what?
When did you stop dominating?
Well, I mean, I stopped growing in, what, junior of high school? Mm-hmm. I stopped at 6'1". So, I mean, I was still, but that was, so then I just was more three-point shooting than post, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know.
What do you feel about that rumor that Seattle's going to get a basketball team?
No, it's going to happen.
I feel like,
it's gonna happen. The hockey team sold out 33,000 season tickets.
And dude, the Sounders
in, 2 hours
crushed. The only
I could leave soccer.
Have you been to one of those games?
No,
I have to tell you, and I, you know, I'm not a soccer fan.
Oh, really? They're unbelievable, huh?
The game was
not all sold out.
It was amazing, okay. And the Seahawks fans are crazy. So to not give the Seattle fan base a basketball team, if a basketball team goes somewhere else first, something shady.
They're talking about Montreal, Mexico, Vegas, and Louisville. It's not gonna happen. We're at the top of the list. We had a franchise for 40 years.
Montreal,
yeah,
no,
they don't want basketball.
No, man. You saw how well it went in Vancouver.
They have poutine. They're fine.
Poutine. What's poutine? Oh, I know what poutine is.
Yeah, it's like the weird gravy stuff that you put on French fries.
Yeah, you know what? You know, I really try not to eat gravy, because to me, when I go to a restaurant, I need to see what you put in the gravy. Because you could really put fucking, it's brown.
I mean, that goes with any food though, right?
But like,
what do you really know what's happening? Do you really know what's happening back there?
Well, I know what potatoes look like. I really don't know what it's in the gravy. Like, yeah. Like, you know, we used to do, I worked at a bar in Pioneer Square. And at the end of the night, we used to do mat shots. Where, you know, where you've been pouring the drinks all night, those mats are filled up. And we would pour them into shots. And the drunk people would come up and be like, I need one last shot. I'm like, sorry, it's closed. I need one more shot. I'll pay $20. I'm like, here you go. And we would pour them the mat shots.
You son of a bitch.
And they would drink it. They were like, that's strong. I'm like, yeah. They're like, what's in it? I'm like, honestly, no idea. No, it's a little bit of everything. Little bit of everything, my friend.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we had so much fun.
Like, it's a mat shot. What the fuck is that? Your name's Matt, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a mat shot. Everyone wants me. And we make them special. Who wants a mat shot? We want a mat shot.
If you hype anything up, people are going to...
Drunk people?
Get on board, yeah.
Drunk, not a lot of people. You didn't hear me offer it out? No, but you get a mat shot. And it was... I did two mat shots. They were easily the most disgusting things, because also what's in the mat is whatever was on the counter that I had to wipe off the counter onto the mat, like, you know what I mean, to dry off the counter. So there was never, but we did some weird things in that club. You know, we had a fetish night. Joey Diaz worked as my bouncer
in Pioneer Square.
Okay, so
I love that guy.
He's the best.
I was just talking to him today. He's
the best.
Yeah,
so he showed up in Seattle, and I owned part of a bar in Pioneer Square.
That's so cool.
And at like 25, it was bananas down there. And he walked in, and I met him at the Comedy Underground, and I was like, come by if you need a job. He's like, yeah, I need a job.
That's right where Seahawks Stadium is, Pioneer Square.
And I go, I need a bouncer. And at this point, he's 215 pounds, maybe. Wow. 210. He used to go on stage in a three-piece suit.
Wow.
And be 210, 215.
Still same attitude and energy and...
It was really interesting with him, you know. I started with him and Brody, and they did kind of the same thing at the same time, which is when they went on stage and did jokes, they were terrible. But when they just got fed up with their jokes not working and just were Brody or Joey, they blew the place up.
Wow!
But Joe, before he figured out what he did, he was good when he just got mad on stage, and he unleashed that, what you see now. And people were like, oh my fucking God. And Brody walked off stage one night, and he was like, Steve, Brody's not funny. And I said, who is? And he said, Brody Stevens. I said, who's that? He said, you'll see tomorrow. And he's been that guy, Brody Stevens, ever since.
That's amazing.
It's the really bizarre.
So you knew Brody when he was on Public Access with Tana.
With Tana, yeah.
Did you know Shannon Cringan?
No.
You know who that is? This large woman whose Public Access show. This is my first taste of local TV and local celebrities.
Did you know who Brody and Tana were?
I was in high school when they were on Public Access.
And you watched the show?
Yeah. I was fascinated. I was I wish I had more chutzpah to like, because I, every day I would be like, I got to figure out a way to get a show on there.
Dude, they would sing that song, Jews and Samoans Yes. Rule the World.
Yeah, and they would take callers. It was, and it was local. And it was, so you're like local celebrities. And then Almost Live comes out, you know, the Joel McHale was on. Mm-hmm. It was like SNL for Seattle. So just a next level of like, these people are live here.
Yeah.
And this shit's hilarious and it's on TV. And that prompted me and my buddy then starting taking the morning news show that Senior started our freshman year, and we took it over and made it a sketch show. I think I told you this on your podcast
yeah,
last time.
Yeah.
But Shannon Cringan would come on. This might be my first taste of porn and a true, like, naked body. Not a good one to see for your first one.
No.
But...
besides your own.
Yes.
Yeah.
But pretty much the same thing, because I was... Well, no, if this was sixth grade, then it would have been like looking in the mirror at Shannon Cringan. God bless you wherever you are, Shannon. But you were a big gal. But guess what? You rocked it.
Yeah.
You fucking owned it.
I don't remember her. Was she a comic?
No. I mean, guess what, dude? YouTube has everything. There's probably some Shannon Cringan.
I'll have to take a look. Yeah.
On there. And she would paint her. I think she was body painted. Yeah, body painted. And she would start off with clothes, I think, and then take them off. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
And there's always like weird gypsy music playing. And she would just, I can't remember the content of the show. Obviously, because I'm just like, look at those tattooed tits. But
I know who you're talking about. I know
who you're talking about. Did you just remember a caller calling in?
I was like, no.
Caller, go ahead. He goes, look at those tattooed tits. And no. Just goes, I remember that guy. Well, that was me calling in sixth grade. No, she came on before them.
Yeah, I remember who you're talking about now.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. I will tell you, Tana and Brody, for me too, when I watched that show, I thought, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because they are literally, for me, I don't know about you, but for me, the dream is to do to go in to do whatever you're doing and just look forward to it so much.
Yes.
And Tana and Brody, not only could you tell how much fun they were having on the screen, but that's all they did all week was talk about that and how much fun. And I remember watching them thinking, well, look, however successful I am, if that's my attitude every day, I could do that for the rest of my life. As long as I'm eating and sleeping and I have a roof over my head and I can provide for everybody, right? But if I'm that happy every day at my job, and I've brought that with me thinking, just remember, like over the last 5 years, there have been things I've said no to because I'm like, that's going to be not fun. And I'm just not doing that. I've got one ride on the rock. I'm not going to spend days being like, I fucking hate that guy. That would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
How much do you look forward to your high lives?
So much.
Yeah.
I've learned so much, dude.
You're able to be engaging and somewhat articulate while you do it. So that's, if you weren't, somebody would say something to you in the comments, obviously. So I guess that's how you know, right?
I also, people love, because the fence in my backyard is like the 405 for animals. And so every time I'm out there, there's some critter, and I'm freaked out by critters. And so a possum.
Oh, why? Because you're a person?
No, but yeah. Some people are like, well, don't be a pussy. Because raccoon was behind me, and I saw it on the fence behind me, and I fucking ran. I ran.
This is why I know you and I are cut from the same cloth. When I was in high school, my sister rescued cats. And not the musical. She didn't fucking She didn't pay up the money they needed to stay on Broadway for two more years. But she would, these cats, she a couple in our time. And she had, but would leave cat food out on the front porch. And one night I hear a raccoon, or a cat. I thought it was one of the cats scratching that got locked out. So I run downstairs, I open the door. Raccoon looks up with his head first and goes, huh? And I go, whoa. And then it just goes hind legs and up and just on its legs real quick and paws up going in fucking an instant. And
dude,
I go,
I would have shit myself.
Yeah. I scream like not a man would scream. If there was somebody behind me that I needed to protect, they would have been eaten by the raccoon. Because I screamed and then I ran down the stairs.
Did you shut the door?
No. So then ran back up the stairs. Raccoon had just gone back to the food. So when I appear back in the doorway, sees me, pops back up again, goes, and I go, fuck, and then slam the door.
What time of the night?
Oh, 10:30, 11.
Okay. And how old were you?
It was a couple of days ago.
Okay. That was last week. Yeah. I was visiting my mom. Yeah, it was embarrassing.
No, this is like eighth grade.
I'm going to ask you an honest question. Say you go back up. The door's open, but there's no raccoon there.
Oh, I guess I don't live there anymore.
Okay, so,
hey, Mom,
so what's
I
your,
ran away from home.
What's your next move? Do you go search the house for the raccoon?
Yeah, you wake up every room of the house. You do some sort of like, no, some raccoon. Like, raccoon's out. You know, you just...
Do it again. How are you calling the raccoon?
Raccoon's out.
That'll do it, yeah.
Something to let people know that you need to get up.
Dude.
Sound like an alarm of some sort.
Because...
Banging on the walls. Ah!
People say... But they're scared of you. I'm like, great. But they could also rip my face off. So even if they're scared of me, what somebody said online was, look, only 5% of them will fight you. I'm like, well, then none of them will fight me if I don't come face to face with any of them. Yeah. So who's the dumbass?
Yeah.
I'm eliminating the 5%. But people were calling me a pussy because I ran away. I'm with you. If I had run away and I had come back up and that raccoon wasn't there, I would have walked out of the house. And I would have just waited until somebody gave it a thorough once over.
Yeah.
Because I'm never. No. Because in my head, I go back into my room and the raccoon's in my bed. Like, this is my bed now, bitch. You know what I mean? You left the door open, kick rocks, and just tucked all in. Yeah. Because they got thumbs and shit, dude.
Yeah.
They're, no. And there was a possum. Uh-uh.
There's a lot of animals I don't trust.
No.
And I, look, that doesn't mean I'm not in favor of them or want to hunt them because I don't trust them.
Yeah.
I just am going to actively not put myself in a position.
Dude.
Although I do want to go on an African safari.
Me too.
But, you know, and that's because of some of the danger. But also, like, I want to see that shit up close.
Yeah, up close. But there's some things that I'm not in favor of. And I say this because I saw somebody in Trader Joe's with a possum and a baby Bjorn.
What?
Facing out. So its little arms and legs were out.
People with possum, squirrel...
Why are we domesticating wild animals?
Chinchilla, I have a tough time.
Yeah, no, why do you need a pig? You need a pig at your house? Do you need a fucking pig?
So there's a guy at West Palm Beach this past weekend who has a pet pig.
Yeah, you need
a
pig?
I grilled him, and I was like, and he's like, it was my son's pig. He had it. They got it in the fraternity. I go, he goes, and I have it now. I go, sir, do you know how much that pig has been fucked with?
Period.
Fuck, yeah. Yeah, I went into that too. And I was just like, We end up doing a whole song about the guy and the pig and what happened to him in the frat and this and that. And then I go, where's your son now? I go, he's like, well, he left for study to do this. And so I'm holding on to the pig for him. I go, fuck that. I go, let's call him. Give me your phone. We call, it doesn't pick up. So I leave a voicemail as the pig. I go, hey, and the pig was, what was his name? Not Barnaby. Mac the pig.
Oh, I wish it was Barnaby.
It was something silly. It was some silly fucking pig name. What name for a pig is not silly?
Paul.
Yeah. Oh, this is Paul the pig.
Dave the pig. I don't like it when people give animals like definite human names.
No.
James. Your cat shouldn't be named James.
No.
If you're like, come here, James, and a cat comes around the corner, I'm like, we can't be friends.
I don't trust you.
Why is that you put your ex-boyfriend in that body?
That's so creepy. What does that say about you?
Jane? Like,
now, what's creepier? What's weirder? Naming your cat a person name or naming your baby like a planet or a season or an inanimate object or a fruit. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm
looking at like Apple, Storm, that one of the Jenners just named.
I met a little kid many years ago on the playground when I was pushing Jacob on the swing, and the kid's name was Amethyst. And I turned to the dad.
Was the dad there?
Dad was pushing the kid, and we're pushing him. He goes, what's your son's name? I go, Jacob. I go, what's your son's name? He goes, Amethyst. And I just looked at him, and he goes, my wife really wanted it. And I was like, yeah. But you better teach that kid how to fight, because the school is a cruel, cruel place.
Do you go by Amy? Do you go by
Thist?
Here's the thing: kids don't need much for nicknames either. I've said this before. Like, you know,
what was your nickname?
I mean, to pick all your fat names, you know.
Oh, did they?
Jello Jiggler was one I got from one kid.
That's a tough one, Jello Jiggler.
That stung. Yeah, you can laugh. It's okay.
Oh, Jello Jiggler's pretty funny.
But guess what I called the kid and got and made him more upset with? Tight pants.
Tight pants.
Because he wore tight sweatpants every day to school. And I was like, oh yeah? I was like, I might be jiggling Jello style, but at least I don't wear fucking tight pants to school. And dude, I've never seen a human being more angry or concerned with their well-being. Like,
How long did tight pants stick?
Wore them for a while, and then guess what? He changed his pants. He went to jeans.
Did you call him loose pants?
Do you think I didn't adjust? Oh, sorry, you don't have tight sweats anymore. Yeah. what's up, denim dog or whatever, you know, like Dick Denim, whatever it was. But I just go, oh, cool, new pants, another day, new name. But he, yeah, so it was like kids don't, but
childhood nicknames, though, can stick.
But don't give them ammo. Don't give them, like, the amethyst, like, but maybe that's too confusing for a kid.
Yeah, but
kids are simple, but maybe they're just like.
But you know what your nickname's going to be if you're amethyst?
What?
Homo.
Oh shit!
You're just gonna be crushed.
Yeah, they get rid of your name.
They're and just add just an insult. That it's just sucks. Gonna be the worst. And here's the thing: like I told the guy we were talking, and he was like, "I go, so you know, like I go, he's gonna be in preschool next year." And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "This should be fine." And I said, "Yeah,
it'll be fine in preschool."
And he was like, yeah. "He said elementary school is gonna be really tough." Elementary, he said, I know elementary school is going to be really tough. We're thinking about putting him in a... And I was like, what? Well, you could have just named him Dave.
Yeah, change his name. It's not too late.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
You named him. It's your kid. You can't change his name?
Go by his middle name. What's his middle name? Marble?
You can change your email address a minute after you make your email address. Yeah.
Change it. We had a kid, by the way, who got a nickname in like fourth grade. He came, walked to school, and on the way to school, he slipped in dog shit. And is old school parent.
Slippy.
He went home to change. And his dad was like, you're going to be late for school. And he's like, I got shit on my leg. And his dad was like, well, you're going to have to fix that at school.
No.
Because, you know, we all walk to school.
Yeah.
So he's like, you're going to be late. And he was like, but. So he showed up to school. And he had the nickname Shitstick. Well, I'll tell you what. The first high school reunion I went to. He walked in with his wife, and we were all like, Shitstick!
No fucking way!
And his wife was like, Shitstick! And he was like, don't call me that!
He hadn't told her?
No. Well, why would you tell your wife Shitstick?
Yeah, that's not a turn-on.
I want to know
how... That's not helping you in the bedroom.
How long did the hiccups go? 10 minutes? Had to do 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think we've done an hour and 15, I think about.
I got the best ab workout today.
Good for you, man.
It was... Well, they're back!
Oh no!
That was great. They are back.
Fuck, man. Were they asleep and they hurt? They were like, "Oh, you're not gonna talk about me? I'm going to bed." Uh oh, guys, get up! Josh is talking about us.
See? What would you call that? We gotta give it a different name. It's like a snick up, because it's a kind of a sneeze or a burk up.
Well,
it's a hiccup.
A hiccup.
A bickup? Bickup sounds like something they might wear in the Middle East.
I had to get this steroid shot because the antibiotics I got on for my third time of epiglottitis when my air passageway was closing up a few days ago. And I got these antibiotics that made me real flushy and in the face and puffed out. And so I got a steroid shot to subside that. And it helped, but... I think one of the side effects of the steroids is the hiccups.
Ugh. But those aren't the hiccups, so
I know.
Whatever those are, I know. That's what
the is there another option on the list?
Yeah, would you That's a bickup. It is, it's a bickup.
A burp hiccup. Hashtag this episode bickup.
Is it bickup or hiccup? Oh, yeah, we should have your people pick. Bickup, hiccup.
It really what
it's
I don't
pretty
know
funny.
What it is, but yeah. It's also not, man.
Do you want me to punch you really hard? I can't.
What's funnier, the noise or the distress in my face of like, I'm not going to live to see another hiccup. It's almost like my body is like...
You know, the look on your
it's
face
like, remember
is like...
Remember Ursula tries to take Ariel's voice in The Little Mermaid? I feel like that's what's happening. This is terrifying.
You know, every time you do it, you know it's like
I know, I look like I'm falling off a roller coaster.
Yeah, it looks like you're just starting to ride a bike and you hit a bump and you're like, oh no.
this has
been like the best.
This has been a lot of fun.
It's been, you know what, man? It's really good to see you. It's been
Me
a while.
Too, man. I know.
It's been a while.
But they're always great. When we did the last podcast at your place, that was
super
was great.
Fun.
We got so big, but I remember I told you when I left, I was like, I was so locked in and so.
Those are great stories.
But I was so not too stony to talk, you know. So this is Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you at? I know you've been on the road a bunch.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because you just shot your special, so I don't even know what like that's. to me is so
I'm doing
terrifying. What do you
an hour of new material?
Wow.
But I
any dates coming up?
Yeah, okay. So I got 5 weeks in a row. Salt Lake City Wise Guys. I've never been there.
What?
Never been there.
Oh, dude. Not only are you going to draw, you're going to crush, and you're going to have a lot of fun.
It's Easter weekend, so
Keith
I'm hoping
that... They run the clubs great. Oh, yeah, it's...
I hope they come out.
Dude, it's a blast. Go see... Yeah, I'll extra plug
so
that.
So Salt Lake City, the last weekend of this month, and then my April in order goes Omaha, Nebraska at the Funny Bone, and then we're going to Raleigh, North Carolina at Good Nights, nice. And then we're going to American Comedy Company in San Diego for nice. 420. If you come to my 420 late show... You are going to see a human being on stage higher than a human being has ever been on stage.
They'll let you smoke during on stage.
I'm going to be fucked up.
They'll probably let the crowd, right?
Yeah. And then the next Doug weekend Benson after that, a place that loves you, Gotham in New York.
Oh, great. They
I
do?
I love that. Oh, yeah. I love that.
It's maybe one of my favorite clubs.
So we've got 5 weeks in a row. Good guys. Good guy, yeah. And that club is great, dude. You know what else I like? Is your hair gives a tiny little head flip every time you do it.
That's at least my concerns. I'm going to Laugh Boston
this I will
weekend.
Plug the shit out of that for you. I already sent one out today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Thank you. I guess it already passed. That was the last weekend, but that was a lot of fun. And then Harvey's in Portland and Edmonton House of Comedy in Alberta and Minnesota.
I love those clubs.
All the dates are AdamRayComedy.com. And for you...
ComedianJoshWolf.com.
Well, we didn't even scratch the surface of so many other things I want to talk about, but that's why it's always great to chat with you. And next time, hopefully, I won't hiccup through half of it. But you know what?
I hope you fart sneeze next time.
No, I hope nothing else comes out of my body after tonight. That's how I'm editing it. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or AboutLastNightPodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.